Hello and welcome to the Friday, July 18th, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I am recording from Munich, Germany. Cisco today released an advisory regarding some of its cable modems. These cable modems are vulnerable to an arbitrary remote code execution via a crafted HTTP request. Many cable modems do have a simple web server built in that allows the user to configure the modem or review settings. This HTTP application does contain the vulnerability. The sad part is that if you have one of those cable modems, there may not be much you can do. The software update typically has to be applied from your cable modem provider, so they have to remotely load a new firmware. You can check with them. You can also check with Cisco's advisories whether or not your particular cable modem is vulnerable and if it is already patched. If not, one thing you could possibly do, but that depends on how much flexibility your cable modem provider gives you, is to either turn off external access to the web admin interface or set up a firewall rule. But again, whether or not that's possible depends largely on how your cable modem has been configured by your cable company. Another option, of course, maybe to just consider the cable modem a bridge and then use your own firewall behind the cable modem. That way, if the cable modem gets compromised, your network itself should not be affected. However, a number of cable modems that are affected also contain a voice over IP component. So if your cable company also provides you with phone service via that modem, that phone service may still be at risk. And with Rust talking about remote access Trojans this week, it's interesting to see that they're not just confined to Windows, of course. They also pop up in Linux once in a while. In the latest case that was described in very much details by Palo Alto Networks, a backdoor was installed that camouflaged itself as a Bluetooth daemon by using appropriate file names, like, for example, BT Daemon. Palo Alto called it the IP tables backdoor. Now, it doesn't actually backdoor IP tables. However, it does create some files that are called .IP tables and similar names, which then Palo Alto used to derive the name that it assigned this particular backdoor. If you're interested in any indicators of compromise, Palo Alto Networks in its blog lists IP addresses and host names that are used by this particular backdoor, and you will find the link to this blog post in our show notes. One of the issues that we point out in our Defending Web Applications class is the importance of operations when it comes to security, in particular managing domain names. Sony apparently didn't listen, and it did let the domain registrations for sonyonline.net expire. The result was that many of Sony's online games no longer functions. Luckily, nobody else picked up the domain name, but instead, any requests to sonyonline.net were redirected to a Network Solutions parked domain page. By now, Sony paid up and everything is back to normal, but please remember to set yourself up with some calendar reminders about these expired domain names. Sony apparently had many of the reminders that the registrar sent go to its spam folder, and that's where, sadly, they often end up and then get ignored. And in case you're concerned seeing an update to Apache that fixes a couple of vulnerabilities, but it's only being released as a developer release for now, don't sweat it. The updates aren't really all that critical. There is one remote code execution vulnerability that's being patched here. It's not easy to exploit. It's a race condition, and it also only affects mod status, which is something you probably shouldn't expose anyway. So take it as a reason to double check your Apache configuration and disable mod status if you see it enabled. And while we're talking about patches, there's also a new version of Google Chrome. It is now up to version 36. The most important issue I've seen being patched in that version is for the mobile version of Chrome. It fixes a URL spoofing vulnerability that could be exploited for phishing. And this is it for today. Thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.